VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. We're going to be having a news roundup day here today. And friends, the volumes of material that is coming into our Crosstalk offices here, it's just astounding, all that is taking place. And it's as if there could be a news roundup every day with as many issues that are going forth of concern, of course, to the Christian community, of which we serve here through the Crosstalk program on VCY. But certainly should serve as a wake-up call to us. Folks, it says, I see it sometimes as if the whole world is standing in rebellion against God, and evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what Paul told Timothy the last days, the perilous times would be, and we are observing that very thing before us today. I'm so thankful for a number of issues going on, one being the March for Life today, but our thanks to Lori for putting many hours into gathering so many stories and preparing them for you, the listeners, today. This is the Sanctity of Human Life Month. Next Tuesday marks the infamous anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Lord willing, Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute is scheduled to be with us on Tuesday. But today, tens of thousands of pro-life advocates descended upon the National Mall for the 46th annual March for Life. This year's theme, Unique from Day One, conveys the message that each life begins at conception. The stated purpose of the march is to end abortion by uniting, educating, and mobilizing pro-life people in the public square. Liberty Counsel's legal team is aggressively engaged right now in pro-life actions against Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, the federal government, and state legislatures as well. An interesting editorial that appeared with the Grove City College indicates that marchers today remembering the 60 million unborn children who have died from abortion in America since Roe v. Wade. 60 million, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Paul Kengor highlights a grim practice at abortion clinics across the country, escorts. He writes that escorts work outside the abortion clinic. Their duty is to ensure that every pregnant mom who approaches the door does not get deterred or change her mind. They strive to guarantee that every potential customer with cash or credit leaves with an abortion under her belt. LifeSiteNews.com reports that Vice President Mike Pence will represent the Trump administration at the annual March for Life in the Capitol this week by delivering an address at the 37th annual Rose Dinner held this year at the Grand Ballroom of the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Downtown Hotel. The Rose Dinner will follow the march this evening and concludes the itinerary for the week. There's a beautiful image of a father and his son that has taken the internet by storm. Perhaps you've seen it. If not, you'll find it at lifenews.com. It came out yesterday, but it really testifies to the beauty of new life and fatherhood. The image shows a father praying over his newborn son in a Brazilian hospital nursery. You see the young little baby, newborn in his bassinet, with dad on his knees against the bassinet in prayer. The 33-year-old first-time father took to social media to share a few words about his family, writing this: "To God, I say thank you. To my wife, I say I love you. And to my son, I say welcome." He said, "I saw myself at the center of a complicated situation, you know, and everything was new to me, and incredible fear came over me. Now I wouldn't be worrying just about me anymore. I had this new life to care of, so I got over my embarrassment and just knelt down and talked to God. I asked him to help me mature, to become a better man, a good father, a good husband, and to increase my desire to grow and work so that my child might not lack anything." A very moving photograph, an image of a new father praying over his newborn baby that has now gone viral. And friends, we will have much more on the right to life issue, Lord willing, on Tuesday, as Brad Mattis is scheduled to be with us. From WND.com, an Atlanta area man has been accused of plotting to destroy the White House and other government buildings in Washington, D.C. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that the suspect is Hashur Jael Taheb of Cumming, Georgia. The FBI's criminal complaint accused him of plotting terror in Washington. Reuters reported a 21-year-old man from Georgia has been arrested, charged with allegations that he plotted to attack the White House by blowing a hole in it with an anti-tank rocket, then storming the building with guns and grenades, U.S. prosecutors said Wednesday. This individual from the Atlanta suburb of Cumming was arrested in Gwinnett County on Wednesday and apparently briefly in federal court in Atlanta in a case brought by the FBI. Taheb later told an informant that he wished to conduct an attack in the U.S. against targets such as the White House and the Statue of Liberty, according to the complaint. He told the informant, quote, "Jihad was the best deed in Islam and the peak of Islam," the complaint says. At a December 2018 meeting with an undercover FBI agent, Taheb said he wanted to do as much damage as possible and expected to become a martyr. He told the agent that he planned to acquire weapons and explosives for the White House attack. And later that month, he told the agent he also planned to attack the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Monument, and a synagogue. FoxNews.com reporting that Republican leaders slammed Democrats last Sunday after reports that about 30 Democratic members of Congress traveled to Puerto Rico last weekend to meet with lobbyists and see a special performance of the hit Broadway show Hamilton. Republicans were angered over images of their Democratic colleagues enjoying the island's beaches as the partial government shutdown entered its third week. Also from Fox, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi took the extraordinary step Wednesday of urging President Trump to delay his State of the Union address until the partial government shutdown ends or to submit the address in writing. The president has been slated to deliver his televised annual address to a joint session of Congress on Tuesday, January 29th. The speaker says, on January 3rd, it was my privilege as speaker to invite you to deliver the State of the Union address on January 29th. The Constitution calls to the president from time to time, give the Congress information on the State of the Union, Pelosi wrote, but noted that since the start of modern budgeting in fiscal year 1977, the State of the Union address has never been delivered during a government shutdown. She concluded, quote, "Sadly, given the security concerns and unless the government reopens this week, I suggest that we work together to determine another suitable date after government has reopened for this address and for you to consider delivering your State of the Union address in writing to Congress on January 29th. Pelosi then detailed the need for proper security at events like the State of the Union. However, the Secret Service and Homeland Security, they put forth memos that contradict the speaker. This is from The Hill. As the Trump administration pushed back on Pelosi's claim of security concerns, the Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said on Twitter, quote, "The Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Secret Service are fully prepared to support and secure the State of the Union." Also from townhall.com, the U.S. Secret Service pushing back as they send out a tweet saying, quote, "We've been planning for this for months, as we always do. It didn't start up 29 days ago. Senator Ted Cruz said, quote, "So why does Nancy Pelosi not want the State of the Union?" He said, "Because the State of the Union is an enormous platform for the president to speak directly to the American people, and she doesn't want people focusing on the substance of this issue. She wants their information to come from the mainstream media rather than from the president." Well, FoxNews.com reported that President Trump yesterday abruptly denied military aircraft to Speaker Pelosi for a foreign trip just minutes before the congressional delegation was set to depart in a stunning decision that followed her call to delay the State of the Union address. A senior White House official told Fox News that congressional delegation travel by military aircraft is now postponed. An official said that as soon as the president found out about the trip, he took immediate action in opposition to it. Fox News has told Capitol Hill security officials got an emergency call from the Pentagon canceling the overseas trip due to the shutdown amid mounting confusion. Fox News is told that there were furious calls going back and forth from Capitol Hill to the State Department, to the Pentagon, and White House offices. The bus later returned to the Capitol, where members filed back into the building. And here is the letter that President Trump said sent. Dear Madam Speaker, due to the shutdown, I am sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. We will reschedule this 7-day excursion when the shutdown is over. In light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, I am sure you would agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I also feel that during the period, it would be better if you were in Washington negotiating with me and joining the strong border security movement to end the shutdown. Obviously, if you would like to make your journey by flying commercial, that would certainly be your prerogative. I look forward to seeing you soon, and even more forward to watching our open and dangerous southern border finally receive the attention, funding, and security it so desperately deserves. Sincerely, Donald J. Trump. Well, the White House did scrap this scheduled event, but also the White House scrapped a scheduled trip by several cabinet members to the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, citing the partial government shutdown. And again, saying, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said in a statement, out of consideration for the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay and to ensure his team can assist as needed, President Trump has canceled his delegation's trip to the World Economic Forum. That also was released yesterday, same time as the cancellation for Nancy Pelosi. President Trump on Wednesday did sign a bill authorizing back pay for federal workers after the 26-day partial government shutdown does end. FoxNews.com reports that congressional Democrats Tuesday rejected President Trump's invitation to a lunch meeting at the White House to discuss border security. In the latest sign that both sides of the government shutdown remain entrenched in their positions with no compromise in sight. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said in a statement that nobody took him up on the offer, saying the president has a proposal on the table that includes additional technology at ports of entry, allows minors from Central America to seek asylum in their home country, and physical barriers between ports of entry made of steel instead of concrete. Also interesting from the Western Journal, a group of angel moms protested inside Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's Capitol Hill office Tuesday, calling on him to support President Trump's call or plan for a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Marianne Mendoza, whose son Brandon, a Mesa police officer, was killed by an illegal alien with a criminal record in 2014, was one of the leaders of the protesters, said, quote, "We are here because as mothers we protect our families and we know what needs to be done to protect our family and our children and our loved ones. The politicians who are here in D.C. are not doing their job, and so it's time that we, the people, speak up, stand up, and visit the people who are not doing our bidding and get the wall done," Mendoza added. She noted that the ranks of angel moms sadly continues to grow, citing the recent deaths of the California police officer Singh and also 22-year-old Tennessee native Pierce Cochran. And also it appears that citizen journalist Laura Loomer set up a demonstration at Nancy Pelosi's home. WND reports that amid her staunch opposition to funding a border wall, Pelosi called police to evict the illegal aliens from camping out at her multi-million dollar vineyard estate in Napa Valley. The entourage set up a portable canopy with the word immorality written on it in large red letters. That's a reference to Pelosi's characterization of a border wall as being illegal and rather immoral. Well, police officers showed up and asked for ID, and the people said, "I thought IDs were racist." Well, more on this issue after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America, a Friday News Roundup day today, and just kind of giving a summary of so many issues going on. We know the big issue, of course, with the shutdown going on, certainly the concerns as to what's happening at the borders. And the Daily Signal adds to the story this week that Customs and Border Protection agents were able to apprehend a previously deported child sex offender who tried re-entering the country with a group of other foreign nationals. A CPB camera operator, Border Patrol, on January 11th discovered 24 individuals illegally crossing into the U.S. near the San Luis, Arizona port of entry. Among the group was Marcos Velasquez Tapiero, a 37-year-old from Guatemala, who was convicted of aggravated indecent liberties with a minor in Ford County, Kansas in 2009. Served 32 months in prison, then deported back to his home country, and was now found trying to re-enter the country. He's going to be prosecuted for re-entry. News of the arrest also follows the apprehension of Wilfredo Perez Aguilar, another sex offender from Guatemala, who was caught Monday trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border in Southern California. He was convicted in 2005 of sexual abuse and rape of a minor child, age of 12, in the state of Kentucky. This is a shocking story from WND.com. Prayer rugs, typically used in Islamic worship, have been found by ranchers and farmers near the U.S.-Mexico border in recent months, suggesting that Middle Easterners are penetrating the southern frontier. The Washington Examiner, reporting from a New Mexico border town, spoke to the ranchers who asked to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation by cartels. The rancher said, there's a lot of people coming in, not just from Mexico. The general public just don't get the terrorist threats of that. That's really what's scary. You don't know what's coming across. We have found prayer rugs out there. It's unreal. It's not just Mexican nationals that are coming across. The ranchers and six other residents of Animas, New Mexico, told the Examiner, what Border Patrol classifies as OTMs, that's other than Mexicans, has really increased in the last couple of years, but drastically within the last 6 months. Chinese, Germans, Russians, a lot of Middle Easterners, Czechoslovakians were caught over at a neighbor's yard just last summer. But folks, Islamic prayer rugs you're finding that are left abandoned, they're at the border, crossing the border. And in December, the New American reported the ICE officials deported a Pakistani illegal alien smuggler based in Brazil. Some of those he helped sneak into the country were connected to terrorist activities. And last year, immigration authorities collared and deported 42 known or suspected terrorists and 45 the year before. Now, those that have been caught, how many are getting through that are not being caught? Prayer rugs those from communist China aren't the only discoveries at the border. Volunteers working for an outfit called Eagles of the Desert found 8 illegal alien skeletons at the Barry Goldwater Air Force Range near Yuma, about 40 miles from the border. Last year, searchers found the remains of 127 illegals in southern Arizona, the newspaper reported. And then we get into the drugs. Breitbart reporting, this is at the border. Federal officials seized enough fentanyl, one of the deadliest drugs in the world. They seized enough last year to kill nearly twice the entire population of the United States. ICE Homeland Security Investigations Unit revealed in a year-end report that in total about 2,737 pounds of fentanyl were seized in fiscal year 2018, along with 7,103 pounds of heroin and 225 pounds of chemicals used to make these deadly drugs. Now, that's what they have seized. How much is getting through a borderless entry? FoxNews.com also reports about 1,000 Central American migrants marched freely through the Guatemala-Mexico border today after gates were left wide open with Mexican authorities standing down from confronting the caravan. The border gates were open only temporarily, but migrants were surprised to find no locks on the gates, effectively giving them a free pass to enter the country without being stuck at the border or registering with immigration officials, and now begin the trek to the U.S. border, which can range from between 1,000 to 2,500 miles, depending on the port of entry. Well, according to frontpagemag.com, some Democrat lawmakers are losing their will to fight in the ongoing stalemate with President Trump over border wall funding that has partially shuttered the federal government since before Christmas. Claims of unity is nonsense, according to Matthew Boyle of Breitbart. In fact, many Democrats, particularly the newly elected freshmen, want to negotiate with the president on the wall, and they're saying so publicly while expressing their disdain for Pelosi and their fellow leaders. And so they write of some of those who are open to, let's talk, let's negotiate, let's get this done, let's get government open, let's protect the borders. Freshman Representative Jared Golden of Maine, Elisa Slotkin of Michigan, Freshman Representative Max Rose, New York, Freshman Representative Anthony Brindisi of New York, acknowledged that he has been defying Pelosi and he himself negotiating directly with GOP lawmakers. There's freshman Representative Abigail Spanberger of Virginia and freshman Representative Colin Aldred of Texas said he would consider supporting appropriations needed to build the wall. Freshman Representative Lucy McBath of Georgia said she is optimistic a deal can be brokered. We got another freshman, Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, said he would vote for wall funding. Amy Barra of California said plenty of Democrats outside the freshman court are bucking Pelosi's refusal to negotiate. Chris Bustos said of Illinois, some kind of border barrier is necessary. Kathleen Clark, Massachusetts, said on MSNBC that a barrier of some kind would work in parts of the U.S.-Mexico border. Folks, it's important to be contacting your congressmen, your House members, your senators, and that the House switchboard is 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121, and the Senate is 202-224-3121. Well, to the Daily Signal we go. The government shut down over border wall funding. But only a month ago, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asked President Trump to support billions. Now, he wants about, $6 billion for this wall, to put up wall in the most vulnerable places at the border. Chuck Schumer was asking to have billions in green energy subsidies. Early December, just a little over a month ago, he asked President Trump to support permanent tax incentives for domestic production of clean electricity and storage, energy-efficient homes and commercial buildings, electric vehicles, and modernizing the electric grid. The committee estimates solar and wind subsidies would cost $7 billion, more than $7 billion, in 2019. Wanting more in subsidies for green energy than to protect the citizens of the United States. Oh, another big issue this past week has been going on with whether or not we can have a question on the U.S. Census asking people if you're a U.S. citizen. Well, on January 15th, just about a couple days ago, Judge Jesse Furman of the Southern District Court of New York has stopped the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 Census. The question, which has not appeared in the form in recent years, asks, is this person a citizen of the United States? Don't you think that's a good question, that we know how many citizens are here in this nation? I mean, that's what our congressional delegation should be representing, is citizens of the United States, not those that are here illegal. Furman said that Ross has ignored and violated a clear statutory duty to use existing government records about people's citizenship status as much as possible rather than using the census to ask a citizenship question. He also alleged that Ross, in another violation of the law, announced his decision in a manner that concealed its true basis rather than explaining it. Ross said the question, which has not appeared on the census form since 1950, was necessary to enforce federal laws protecting eligible voters. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi Tuesday praised this district judge's ruling. She told the Trump administration, said that the Trump administration now blocked plan to ask about citizenship status in the census violated the Constitution and injected fear into people. The Trump administration's proposed citizenship question, she said, would have violated the clear constitutional mandate to provide an actual enumeration of the people in our country while injecting fear into our most vulnerable communities and making traditionally undercounted communities even further underrepresented, financially excluded, and left behind. From FoxNews.com, another issue going on. This time, the target is the first lady of the vice president. What do you call it, the second lady? CNN anchor Chris Cuomo tied second lady Karen Pence's new teaching position at a private Christian school to the remarks made by GOP Iowa King, Iowa Representative Steve King. And we know that according to what we have heard him say, Vice President Pence, a devout Christian, and now his wife, she was wanting to work part-time as an art teacher at Emmanuel Christian School in Virginia, where she previously worked before her husband became governor of Indiana in 2013. The religious school lists homosexual or lesbian sexual activity as a violation of job qualification and has parents of students sign an agreement that allows the institution to expel students who go against biblical morality. So the school says, we're going to follow scriptural teaching. We are a Christian school. We're going to follow scriptural teaching. Mrs. Pence is wanting to go back and teach art to the students at the school. And the whole media is in an uproar, folks. A huge uproar regarding the fact that that this school is anti-LGBT. Folks, they are pro-Christianity. They pro in what the Bible says. And this should be a lesson to all of us that the attack is upon born-again believers across this land. The attack is going to be coming against churches just as it is now against this Christian school. Vice President Mike Pence, defending both his wife and his Christian faith, spoke yesterday about this liberal backlash resulting from his wife's decision to return to a Christian school as a volunteer art teacher. CNSNews.com has a story, and he said, to see the mainstream media criticize my wife because she's choosing to return to the classroom of an elementary Christian school is wrong. He said, my wife and I have been in the public eye for quite a while. We're used to the criticism, but I have to tell you, to see major news organizations attacking Christian education is deeply offensive to us. We have a rich tradition in America of Christian education, and frankly, religious education broadly defined. We celebrate it. The freedom of religion is enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution prohibits a religious test for holding public office. We'll let the other critics roll off our back, but this criticism of religious education in America, he said, it must stop. Well, in an essay on Thursday, the Family Research Council Tony Perkins, president, said the fury directed at Karen Pence for simply volunteering at a Christian school should serve as a warning for all Christians. He said what Americans see now is the truth. The left is coming for our freedom. They have no intention of letting up. Oh, my. Folks, I know and there's a drive right now to get people to be praying for Mrs. Pence, especially in this attack, as she is sought to go in, volunteer some time teaching art at a Christian school. And the media has become unglued. I've seen activist groups like the Human Rights Campaign getting unglued, leveling targets. You see, those who say that you need to be tolerant are the most intolerant themselves. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and just share a few more stories with you here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. It's a news roundup Friday, and then we'll be opening the phone lines to give you opportunity to call in and respond to the issues as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
We are living in a society filled with anger. There's anger on the political front. Road rage is prevalent. Anger overcomes people on the very smallest of issues and leads to many undesirable consequences. Anger has split churches with arguments on the pettiest of matters. Anger has also encroached into marriages, tearing families apart. How do we deal with this matter of anger? Dr. Les Olala from Building Great Leaders has prepared 2 half-hour video presentations on a single DVD. He looks at the causes of anger and the calamity of anger and how anger impacts an individual. He looks at the consequences of sinful anger and presents the biblical cure. These teachings have helped many. This DVD is available for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Just call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for the DVD on anger.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, Friday News Roundup Day here today. So much going on. I have gone 20% into my pile of stories here today. Truly, truly amazing. And we'll give you opportunity to respond to some of these issues here in just a short time. Would like to carry this story from Charisma News. A Mississippi pastor was gunned down while he was opening his church for Sunday morning services over the weekend. That would be last weekend. Police arrested 3 suspects in the murder of Anthony Finch Longino, who pastored the New Bethany Church in Jackson, Mississippi, found dead outside his church. Evidently, there was one who was seeking to rob him, and NBC affiliate there reported that 22-year-old Marquez Hamilton confessed to the killing and has been charged now with capital murder. But a pastor shot to death while opening his church last Sunday for Sunday services. Coming to us from the Washington Times, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral John Richardson, visited China this week amid heightened tensions over naval operations in the South China Sea, trade differences, and the prosecution of a senior executive from a Chinese telecommunications company. U.S. news media were relatively silent on the admiral's 4-day visit, which ended Wednesday. Chinese state media, however, took a hard line on this visit and demanded that the U.S. change its stance on South China and Taiwan. The Communist Party newspaper Global Times stated Monday that increasing concerns about future military friction between the two powers has emerged. Also, from the Washington Free Beacon, China's People's Liberation Army remains a tightly controlled Chinese Communist Party organ with the main mission of keeping the ruthless party in power, according to a Defense Intelligence Agency report. Chinese Communist leaders, led by the party general secretary, Xi Jinping, have maintained a vice-like grip on the PLA. The DIA director, Army Lieutenant General Robert Ashley, stated in a preface to the report, "It's important to understand the Chinese military. China is building a robust, lethal force with capabilities spanning the air, maritime, space, and information domains, which will enable China to impose its will in the region." Coming to us from The Hill, a letter from President Trump delivered to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un over the weekend as it talks to plan a second summit between the two leaders as those talks continued. And within the last hour, the word came out that the president will hold a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the month of February. Also, from FoxNews.com, President Trump announced yesterday a new, more aggressive space-based missile system strategy to counter threats from North Korea and Iran to compete with advanced weapon systems being developed by countries like China and Russia. The president laid out his administration's missile defense review. It's the first compiled since 2010 during a speech at the Pentagon where he highlighted the threat that the United States faces from new missile technologies being developed by foreign nations and the growing importance of weaponizing space. "The world is changing," the president said. "The United States cannot simply make incremental changes. It's not enough to just keep pace with our adversaries. We will terminate any missiles launched from hostile powers. We will ensure that enemy missiles will find no sanctuary." Also on this issue, from WND.com, a new federal report called Surviving a Catastrophic Power Outage warns that the United States' response plans and resources would be hugely outmatched by a catastrophic power outage, which could leave society in disarray and many people dead. We found that existing national plans, response resources, and coordination strategies would be outmatched by a catastrophic power outage, said the report, released just days ago. Significant public and private action is needed to prepare for and recover from a catastrophic outage that could leave the large parts of the nation without power for weeks or months and cause severe failures in other sections, including water and wastewater, communications, transportation, healthcare, and financial services that are critical. We'd like to open our phone lines today. I've got so much more, but folks, we want to give you an opportunity to speak out as well. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. From the conservative base, Jim Corey writes, Democrats will be disbanding the terrorism subcommittee and replacing it with the Investigate Trump subcommittee. The Democrat who slid into the chairmanship of the powerful House Foreign Affairs Committee is telling members of the news media who are said to be cheering behind closed doors that he and his political party plan to disband the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Terrorism and to replace it with House Foreign Affairs Subcommittees to investigate and impeach President Donald J. Trump. Democratic Party hack Representative Elliot Engel of New York got the anti-Trump ball rolling when he told the unabashed left-wing magazine New Yorker that he's planning the elimination of the very important terrorism subcommittee, saying there weren't a lot of House members who wanted to maintain such a panel. And folks, if you didn't hear what happened at Ground Zero, a Saudi sculpture was erected, shaped like a piece of candy. And on it is Arabic writing that had the Shahada, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad being his messenger, 9 feet tall, paid tribute to Saudi Arabia, displayed its flag right near the 9/11 memorial earlier this month. New Yorkers were not happy. As a result, port authorities have decided to remove now this so-called art exhibit and place it somewhere else after receiving countless complaints from social media users and local victims groups who were outraged since 15 of the 19 attackers on September 11th were Saudi citizens. The Port Authority, which curated and installed the exhibit, made the decision for and now plans to send the statues to JFK Airport. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Catherine calling in from Newark, Ohio. Catherine, you're on the air.
First of all, I would like to thank you for your excellent program. I did research on the line of succession because of all of this controversy between Nancy Pelosi and the president, and I was shocked to learn that if for some reason Vice President Pence and the president were either assassinated or they were impeached, Nancy Pelosi be in control of the government. And then after her is Chuck Grassley, a Republican pro tem senator who is in the line of succession because he is the oldest senator on the Hill, and I believe he is 86 years old. So in all of the things that they're trying to do to the president, I believe this topic of impeaching both President and Vice President Pence was something that was floated, but this line of succession would change everything that we know on a dime, and Nancy Pelosi would be running our country. So I just wanted to make that plain, because obviously Senator Grassley, who's a Republican from Iowa, at 86 years old, would become a puppet of whoever wanted to make him as a pawn. So, again, because of what happened with the JFK history, if you read the book The Last 100 Days, you know, an unpopular president with whatever exists, the army, the at that time, they can get rid of them. This now is so much more worse than Kennedy's situation ever was.
Catherine, thank you so much. I'm going to have to run, but we got your main points here today. And certainly, indeed, what your research found is accurate, that Nancy Pelosi is second in line for the presidency of the United States. And we are seeing many, many, many attacks leveled against President Donald Trump, leveled against Vice President Mike Pence. It's been unrelentless, and the attacks are on the increase against the Vice President, and thank you so much for your observations and call today. Charlie from Lodi, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'll make this quick. I just have a comment. You mentioned all these drugs being smuggled across the border, right?
Yes.
Then who wants to block the wall to prevent that from happening? right, who could be possibly implicated in drug smuggling, right? This is not too far-fetched. I remember as a Vietnam veteran, the CIA was smuggling drugs inside the body cavities of dead GIs.
Mm-hmm.
When people bring drugs into this country, high-level officials are being bribed. It's not the little guy on the street. It's people that have a lot of power and a lot of money.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate your comments. Ryan in Crystal Falls, Michigan, you're on the air.
I got a question on the funding of the wall. I understand there's a GoFundMe page that has collected quite a bit, and I know that they can't be used. It can't be used because Congress has to okay the funding. What if that money was to go to the farmers on the border and let the farmers put up the wall on their own property?
Yeah, you got a lot of questions there, and I don't have an answer for that. I do know that that the organizer, that GoFundMe page, has offered refunds to individuals with all the issues going on. But I do know that if you put up just so many feet of wall in one yard or body of land, not another, that it'd be very porous in that regard. So that continuous wall is necessary for the largest geographic areas where the problems are occurring. But thanks for sharing those thoughts. We've got William next in East Troy, Wisconsin. You're on the air, William.
Brother Jim, you were talking about deceivers waxing greater and greater in the end times. I wanted to bring to your attention, I don't know if you heard this yet, but in France or Europe somewhere, young people now are having themselves sterilized because they've been brainwashed and deceived into believing that somehow they are polluting the earth and that their offspring will do nothing more than just pollute the earth and destroy the earth. And I know you've brought up the issue about Al Gore. Well, I wonder if these people have been to Al Gore's lie. He said 10 years ago the coastlines were supposed to be underwater, but yet recently he just bought an oceanside home that supposedly is using tons and tons of electricity for and making a massive carbon footprint. So I think that's pretty deceptive on his behalf.
Not to mention,
and then the other thing.
Yeah, not to mention his jet that he gallivants around the world on as well. The carbon footprint left by that is rather humongous.
It certainly is. And I was hoping you got to the news story about the black news reporter lady from CNN who was interviewing some another journalist from, I believe it was Fox News, and she was accusing him of white privilege. She thought he was white, and he had to correct her and say, "No, I'm sorry, I'm actually black."
Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard or saw that one yet, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's way down on the stacks. There's so many stories here today, William, but thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, the Word of God says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." That refers to the born-again believer in Jesus. Muhammad claims to be the messenger for God or from God. Well, Jesus Christ was the prophet for God when he was here. Presently, he is the great high priest. He's praying for us believers. And he's going to be the king of kings, ruling and reigning here on the earth over everyone, everything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's see if we can get in Vincent from Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air, Vincent.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick that 15 to 20 years ago, Marlon Maddox was saying that there was Middle Eastern people coming through the borders, and they was bringing, coming through the borders in them days with tunnels and all that. You know, you don't know whether somebody's bringing 20 pounds of marijuana or 20 pounds of dynamite.
Yeah.
And now that was 20, that was 15 to 20 years ago when Marlon Maddox was saying that. And now, 20 years later, the Democrats are saying, "Oh, there's no tragedy at the border."
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing is, I don't blame Nancy Pelosi. I don't blame Nancy Pelosi because the people of San Francisco put that woman in place.
Tell you what, we're up against the break. Thank you, Vincent. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. As we study the brainwashing of America's POWs during the Korean War, in fact, it's a historical document many of you should read, by William E. Mayer, what do we find out? The communists knew right away that they had to isolate the leaders away from the group. Those POWs that showed any sign of a commitment to religion or the ability to be a leader had to be removed from the rest of the group, or the brainwashing operation would fail. They were called, among other things, reactionaries, and they were sent to reactionary camps. 5% of the POWs had to be removed because they were leaders. My friends, if we remove 5% of our leaders from our population in America, or we co-opt them, or we shame them, or silence them, there are no leaders. And then the Islamist and the globalist and Marxist can take over.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. The Center for Security Policy reporting that WorldTribune.com and Washington Free Beacon both reported this week that the anti-Semitic member of Congress, Representative Rashida Tlaib, failed to disclose that she was paid $85,000 by a George Soros front group for a leadership in government fellowship. Tlaib disclosed other sources of income, raising suspicions that she intentionally attempted to conceal her ties to the controversial tycoon who has spent a fortune promoting leftist causes and attacking conservatives. Interesting. And also, we don't have time to get into it today, but you can check it out at thenewamerican.com. The headline about the World Council of Churches joining with the United Nations and the European Union in order to boycott Israel. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tom is calling from Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Tom.
Well, good afternoon, Jim. While the left-wing media laments our low birth rate, they refuse to look right at the fact that 60 million children have been aborted. But not only those 60 million children, but the 20 to 30 million children that they would have also had, we should all be in prayer over not only the loss of life of the 60 million, but the millions of children that they would have produced also. Mm.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Very, very sobering thought. Amanda in Peebles, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to say this afternoon that you spoke of Nancy Pelosi being the next in line, but I...
No, second in line.
Second in line. I'm so sorry. My mind went to Jezebel, how wicked she was. And I still believe that the God of then that took care of that matter will take care of this matter. I believe he's never changed. I believe it's our duty to continue to occupy and tell the others in the body of Christ to stand up for what's right and to warn those that are in the wicked places to come out of them. They have that chance now. Hmm. If they don't listen, then they will be bound for hell.
Thank you, Amanda, for your call. God. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I think I heard on the... one of your shows that roughly 30% of your listeners are non-Christian. And I just wanted to talk to them a little bit. Can't you people see how crazy things are going? You think this is normal? I tell you what, don't put Christ off too long. Life can come to an end at any time. Mm-hmm. And he's the only way to eternal life with the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And the globalists and liberals and Islamists, they'll use you, but they'll never shed a drop of blood for you. Christ already shed his precious blood for you. So you better take heed.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you for that reminder. And again, folks, we'd suggest you go back to listen to the programs we did earlier this week with Dr. Ed Heinsohn, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Some very, very important programs on that issue. Let's go next to Al in Wisconsin. Al, you're on the air.
Hi. What can we do to get Chuck and Nancy and all the other senators and congressmen a limited term, just like we have for the president, so they don't become so powerful that they're turned evil?
Well, and yeah, every election is an opportunity for the elimination of a term for any legislator. But there's a big power of incumbency that comes along with that, as far as finances and primarily that of finance and political power. But every 2 years, voters go and cast their ballot for who is going to represent them in each congressional district. Every 6 years for a U.S. senator.
But they need to restrict how many terms they can be in there, just like we do for the president.
Yeah, that would take a constitutional amendment, Robert, and that certainly is a very laborious process. But if voters realize their power as voters, but sadly there are so many that still stay home on Election Day, and we certainly, well, it bears forth the moniker that elections have consequences. Thank you so much for raising the issue. Robert is next in Salina, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes, Brother Jim. I wanted to talk just a minute about this media onslaught against Vice President's wife, Pence. This is getting scary now. We're getting almost into a situation like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they'll be rounding up Christians just like they did with the Jews. And so we have to take a stand. We have to be vocal about our opposition to this far-left onslaught. I mean, I think that it's really getting scary.
Yeah, when you see this targeted, I mean, the true colors really come forth, and we see that as she is being targeted, we know that that churches are going to be right in the crosshairs of the LGBT-dominated media and agenda that is going forth here from leftist America.
Exactly true. And the longer we remain silent, the stronger they get.
Thank you, Robert, for your call. Mary in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
I want to make a comment on, it's been on Fox News, it's been on the internet, and I'm pretty sure I've seen it, President Trump holding up the paper. Four signatures, two signatures. One was Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi being traitors and treasonous to the United States, and they signed it. And slowly, these people are disappearing to military tribunals.
Yeah, no, I don't know of any such paper with signatures that they have signed in that regard. I know it would only take their passage of legislation in Congress to pass some of these bills, though, that would protect America. But when we are seeing the very auspices of the first actions here from the Speaker of the House that of voting for abortion and expanding abortion, shame on them, shame on us as a nation. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Livingston, Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on the monument that they had erected at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
They said within 24 hours of that being erected, they said thousands of locusts descended on Mecca. It showed Muslims covered in their white robes, covered in locusts. And it's the same God that was God over Moses in Egypt. It's the same God today in America. The same God going to be tomorrow. And you know what, Jim? It looks like more and more this is coming down between the sane and the insane.
Hmm.
And it's like God has given them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thank you for your program.
Thank you, Merle, for your comment here today. And we are out of time. Thank you all for your listening and sharing the news and information you hear on this program with others. We do put up every program at crosstalkamerica.com where you can share links with others and certainly be informed. But more than just informed, let's be in prayer. In prayer for this nation and certainly to call out to God to repent of our sin and to seek His face. Being a Bible-believing church on Sunday, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.